from ComedyFilmNerds.com with Graham Elwood.
The Floating Force of Pandora, ever heard of it?
And Chris Mancini.
What clan are you from?
This is the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast.
It's not that great.
This is not the ninja movie I signed up for.
Cousin Eddie's package.
Why can't this happen?
I got nothing going on.
Hello, welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast, episode
17.
Oh, my God, it's exciting. My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Good night.
Yes, and we're out.
We appreciate your loyal support. Well, we have our new guest. We have our guest in here.
You want to do shout-outs first, then introduce him?
Yeah, screw the guest. He's done.
Right.
Yes, what are your shout-outs?
You know what? I actually want to do a shout out to my my cousin Sean, who I missed his wedding back east.
Wow!
We sent a gift, and he sent a thank you note into the card, and the card at the bottom said, "Hey, thanks a lot for the gift." It said, "P.S. Love the podcast."
Oh well, thanks, Sean, for listening to our podcast, and whatever about your wedding.
Yeah. I heard it was a wonderful affair.
I'm sure it was great, yeah. Sean. I would have wanted to make it as well. And our guest really was going to go. He'll go
yes.
to the next one. I got some shout outs. I was a woman who came to my show in Hawaii, who asked me, said, noticed on my website that you cannot leave comments on the blog, and I wasn't aware of that. So I talked to my web person, and she brought her son out to see my filthy mouth show. So I appreciate that. And then all the fans that came out at Helium Comedy Club in Philly was a blast. And one of the guys who submitted the one of the theme songs from South Philly, he came to the show.
Oh, awesome.
So it was great. So all the shout outs to the three guys working in a movie theater at a Carmichael movie theater somewhere in the middle of Pennsylvania who drove 2.5 hours to see the show. Boys, thank you so much. I hope you made it home safely since you seemed drunk.
Yeah. Because of me.
Because of me, because I made you drunk.
Yeah.
That's what this show does. We encourage addiction. All right. So any other shout-outs?
No. That's good.
All right. Let's welcome our first guest.
We did it again.
What?
We only have one.
Oh, yeah. Like, we have five guests. Well, I keep thinking, A, it's a live show. We've only been doing this for 17 episodes,
yeah.
And I'm still like, live from the garage where I record it, and then we edit it and put it on the internet live. What? So our first of 15 guests today, we're having our guest for this episode.
Perfect.
Perfect. We have both worked with this gentleman on numerous occasions at fine hotels and casinos all
yes.
across the great United States.
A fine comedian and a gentleman.
And a gentleman. Definitely a gentleman.
And punctual.
Right on time. Bam. We were expecting the comic 15-minute late thing to show up.
Sure.
He didn't. Ladies and gentlemen, you've seen him in numerous popular movies. Do the Right Thing.
Yes, that was a very popular movie.
Ford Fairlane.
Fairlane. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds World Headquarters, Mr. Steve White.
Hello.
Woo.
Sit down. Thank you.
Yeah.
Guys, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Nice. Thanks for showing up.
Very Hollywood today. Still wearing his sunglasses.
Keeping the shades on.
You went with the Mesa garage door that has the windows for the extra 275.
Yeah, technically we're not inside. We're in a garage.
We're in a garage.
So you got sunlight coming in. So I want to be.
Want to be comfortable
and cool.
Yeah.
Sure. We didn't want. We've had some retinal damage from previous guests. So Steve definitely went with the.
I gotta go shades.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's all over the message board. You're doing their show. Wear your sunglasses.
The fans are aware of it.
Watch out for the gardener.
Yeah.
And your earplugs.
So let's get right into it.
I think we should do this show at a fast clip.
No shout outs for me. I don't get an opportunity to.
Oh, Steve, who do you want to shout out to?
I'd like to shout out the clubs that you work that I don't. Helium and Hawaii. Way to start off making me jealous. Hawaii and Philadelphia. I need those gigs. I actually did a guest spot at Helium. They won't have me. I killed.
Really?
Rich Miller goes, Steve, yeah, you're fine. I know, you're great. It's not going to work out there. Huh?
Weird.
So how was your experience there? Did you do a whole week?
I did a whole week.
Wow.
I was there with Doug Benson, so I was not closing. That's how I snuck in.
Great club, though, yes?
It's a great club. And the,
The old Comedy Factory outlet.
Yeah,
it, Philly.
Really? Is that mm-hmm. the same location? Yep, yep. It was great, and I'd never worked Philly before, and the people came out to the shows. It was a blast. Like, the shows were front to back great. You know, and
did you do radio? Did you do the
yeah, we did
Preston and Steve
yes,
show?
Yes, we did Preston Steve and
Steve Morrison, big great friend of mine from 20 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, why doesn't he make a call to Helium for you?
I talked to Helium. I said, listen, I can get you press. I'll be on the Preston and Morrison show, Preston and Steve. And they said, great, 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 great. Come down to a guest spot. Did the guest spot kill? Call the booker. Can I get a booking? No.
Weird.
Weird. But it'll work out.
How many comedy clubs are in the country?
14.
14. There's only 14.
Well, you know.
Two of them are in Philly and Hawaii.
Right. Yeah.
And Robert wow. Hartman books them all.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's weird.
Boy, yeah, that does limit the choices then.
There's just some gigs out there that you ever do that? You just want to do a gig?
Yeah.
And it's like Charlie Goodnight's is another one for me in North Carolina.
The more you want to do a specific club, the less chance you have of playing it.
So I'm never going to work Charlie Goodnight's because right. I've been trying to do it for 15 years.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, don't pay me. Just let me come down. If I don't make them laugh, you don't pay me. That's a perfect guarantee.
Yeah, but Steve, you're successful enough now. Why don't you just buy one of these clubs?
Yeah. And ask John Lovitz.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was a reference to the John Lovitz Comedy Club that you've probably never heard of because no one goes to it up at City Walk, which is great because not even the gangs will go into that club.
You know, Universal City Walk, this is what its ninth attempt at having a comedy club. I mean, I hope it works out, but it's always just...
Well, the audience right now, they actually got a lot of the gangs out. Now it's families with young children and also not really a demographic for a comedy club.
Yeah, really? Families with four-year-olds?
Yeah, they walk right by it.
Yeah, and it's not really a city. So it's not going to work.
There's somebody's got a joke. Like, if you want to get out of L.A., go to City Walk because no one from L.A. is there. That's the
joke. That's pretty true. Yes. Yeah, it's definitely a touristy place.
And they don't like
anywhere comedy. There's a Bubba Gump shrimp. It's pretty sure.
And a Howl at the Moon. Yeah. Dueling pianos is what I live for.
Magnet shop. Whenever you see the magnet shop, run.
You're either in Vegas or a tourist place.
Magnet shop.
So, all right, let's do it.
Let's get into it. Come on.
Boom. Come on. Go going in.
Big movie. Jonah Hex.
Your thoughts initially, Christopher.
Okay, first of all, I want to do a little backstory on Jonah Hex. This movie's been in development for many, many years because when I was taking a lot of meetings as a screenwriter, I actually tried to get this movie. And Akiva Goldsman did the first draft, and he had fucked it up so badly that the studio actually put the whole movie in moratorium at Warner Brothers.
And when was this?
This was years ago. This was after him coming off of hits like Lost in Space and Batman 4.
Oh, yes.
And as I was
Killing the Batman franchise.
Yes, yes. And then making Lost in Space go, wow, studio movies are horrible. Just made a blanket.
So you mean that guy's screenplay with and Joel Schumacher, they really couldn't, they
isn't
fucked up
weird?
A franchise?
Isn't that weird? Yeah, yeah. And then
Joel Schumacher saying this movie's going to have more bat butt than ever.
Right.
Yeah, make it a gay bathhouse. That's what it's all about.
So I'm meeting with the development executive, and we're talking about Jonah Hex, and they're talking about, yeah, there's nothing we could do with it right now. He put like vampires and crazy stuff in this movie. And I said, well, Akiva Goldsman's kind of like the Joe Esterhaus of screenwriting. I mean, he's like the new Joe Esterhaus. And the development executive looked at me and goes, that's an insult to Joe Esterhaus.
When development executives are taking swings at
guys they paid to write their
I'm just
going to
throw in some laughter like, really? That's nuts.
So I was really happy to see that this movie was finally coming out. Then I was like, oh, my God, it's going to be a disaster. It didn't look good. And you actually saw it, Graham. Why don't you tell us about this abomination?
Well, it honestly, I'll say this. I was going in kind of low expectations on this film. So when I do that, then I tend to have an okay time in the theater. And by time, I mean my wife and I snuck in a really lot of good food, and it was great. we brought coconut water. My wife's Brazilian. And you know, I have read the
macadamia
comic.
Macadamia nuts?
Macadamia nuts, sure, from Hawaii, other sweet gigs I've
Earthquakes.
Done. Earthquakes. Whatever. What?
Yeah. Philly cheesesteak.
Yes.
Yeah.
And oh, my wife's a heroin mule. Yeah. You didn't know that? She had a balloon of heroin.
No, I knew that.
We had a bent spoon, a Sterno can. Jonah Hex is great at that.
No lighter.
No lighter. I'm like, oh, you're so dumb, wife. heroin mule, my wife. Which, by the way, we sell heroin on the site, folks. Go to the Comedy Film Nerd. Signs, autographed
Pablo Escobar. Is he heroin? I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
I think he was more of a coke guy. Escobar was more of a coke guy.
So who's heroin?
That
De Niro, right?
That was yes, and Monty Hall. Monty Hall did.
De Niro in that movie. That was heroin, right?
Yeah.
That was opium.
Opium.
What do I know? Yeah.
Once Upon a Time in America.
Guy.
Nice
upon.
Reference, intern.
Nice. Guy.
Way to go. Guy. He just got pointed to Guy.
Guy back there.
Guy back there.
You know what? I listened to you guys, and you're the reason I didn't see the Elijah Muhammad Day movie, Denzel thing. What was it called?
Training Day?
Wow.
No. The thing.
The Book of Allah.
Yeah. You
well,
said don't go see it.
And you, I helped save your life.
People
what,
go, I come up to me and go, did you see it? It was great. I'm like, I can't. Graham said don't go.
Yeah.
Well, if you like a movie, I think I can spoil alert it now.
Yeah, trust me, we saved you some time.
We saved you a lot of time. The first 30 minutes are great. Just watch that and then leave and then go.
And then make up the rest of the movie in your head and it'll be great.
Yeah, and it'll be great. And leave out the scene where they go to the house and all of a sudden it becomes like a wacky comedy where the house is like, oh, I think we're in a cannibal house. We're going to be leaving. What a great idea.
Let's make an excuse to leave.
Boy.
We have to go.
Boy, I'm
Major
late. Boy, we're late to run around a post-apocalyptic nightmare.
Yes.
we're late
for our radiation treatments.
Yeah. Roger. Anyway, back to Jonah Hex.
Yes.
You know, I read the comic. I'm not. I wasn't like a diehard comic fan, so I was familiar with the comic.
Like the character, great character, supernatural gunfighter.
Supernatural gunfighter after the Civil War, who was fighting for the Confederacy, and then you know his commanding officer started doing horrible things, and he turned him in and said,
"White guy, right?
Yeah." No, Jonah Hex was played by Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yes.
A black woman.
After the Civil War.
Yeah.
Yes. They had so many rights back then. You didn't know about it.
And a hat.
She was a gunfighter. And she did a lot of that.
A Scientologist gunfighter.
Yeah, Scientologist gunfighter that could do the neck thing and the finger.
Yeah.
while she fought.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. I distinctly remember. Yeah, she said that a lot. So visually, I liked how they were keeping the visual aesthetic of the comic book. But then, you know, it just – I'll give the movie credit. It's 81 minutes, so it wasn't like 2 hours – you know what I mean? It wasn't a 2 hour and
it
20 –
It was brief.
You know what I mean? Get in, shoot some people, get out. I like James Brolin, Megan Fox.
Oh, well, I hope she enjoyed her last big budget studio movie.
She just is. Then this is the the female, kid hottie whatever that we got a Orlando Bloom that we got to endure.
I mean, what was that? What was that audition? Okay, bend over that motorcycle.
Yeah,
and that was okay. Now you're a star.
Yeah,
congratulations. Keep your mouth shut. Wait, you didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're going to be in low budget movies.
She's
now.
She's talking again.
Yes. So
old Hollywood.
Jonah Hex. I mean, I saw it and Karate Kid back to back. So
wow.
I need to. I snuck into
just for the air conditioning. What are you doing? It's hot.
Just for the air conditioning.
But Jonah Hex, what was like the story? Like, how did John Malkovich fit into?
Well, he was the commanding officer that burned his face.
Okay.
So it was all vendetta.
Jonah Hex's face.
Yeah, he burned Jonah Hex's face. It was all vendetta. But then the crazy thing is they, there's this new technology that's basically like an atomic weapon in 1871. But not
supernatural.
It had these supernatural balls. It was like antimatter. It was like, come on, man. Like, okay, big Gatling gun, but they were like, this movie can destroy continents. I'm like, so you've developed a weapon
on a horse?
On a horse, like and they had on one of those big iron boats, and they were just going to go level Washington D.C. because he hates the. It was just like, come on, like. A guy that can speak to dead people is a believable supernatural power in any era and time. And the way he did it and the way James Brolin carried that actually out was kind of cool. But then Josh Brolin.
Yes, Josh.
James no, his son. His dad. Yeah. I like his dad better.
Barbara Streisand shows up.
Yes. Don't correct me, intern.
No,
that's right. It's Josh Brolin. I keep saying James. Mm-hmm. Stevie Bolin is one of the most best singers in the world.
Steve Baldwin.
Steve Baldwin is great in this movie. He's a born-again Christian for some reason. There's some ridiculous stuff in there. I just walked out of it.
Megan Fox had a nice slow motion scene.
Yeah, and she's the hooker with a heart of gold that knows how to shoot a gun. So
you know what's amazing about that? She doesn't really have a heart of gold, I don't think.
No, she's evil.
It's pewter.
So, you know, I would imagine if you're a huge Jonah Hex comic fan, you're going to be furious at this movie.
Gotcha.
So mm-hmm.
I never heard of the comic, so...
It's a book that has pictures in it, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about Rich Schneider.
Have you seen the trailer, Steve?
With the face and cut myself shaving. That's all I saw.
Now that
the Screen Actors Guild, we don't get the free movie in North Hollywood. You know that. They took that away.
Really?
Gone.
Oh.
3 weeks ago.
With really?
Yeah, your SAG card used to get you. It used to be you and a guest. Boom. Now, for the last couple of years, it's just one ticket in free. Now it's nothing.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the Van Nuys, was it? Coldwater and Victory, that theater right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Done.
Right by the Burger King.
Got to whip out your $7.
No way. Well, don't do it. Don't spend $7 on Jonah Hex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. Next movie.
Toy Story 3. I saw Toy Story 3. It was great. It was a fantastic movie. I wasn't a big fan of the second one. I liked the first one. I thought the second one was kind of okay. But this third one is great. The thing I really loved about it, too, is that it was a good movie. It made Tim Allen and Tom Hanks relevant again. I don't know how that happened. But Pixar, they can literally do anything. It's one of those movies that it feels kind of like...
Well, Tom Hanks is always relevant. Tim Allen?
Yeah, I guess. Tom Hanks a little bit more.
Although I love Tim Allen in Red Belt that came out 2 years ago.
The karate thing.
He was good at that.
He was great
at that. Chikiwa.
Chipwa Majundabe or whatever.
Yes.
The Kung Fu Majundabe? Is that?
Kung Fu Majundabe, yes.
Okay. But this movie, it was good. It felt kind of nostalgic because you were familiar with the other two movies that came out a while ago. But it also wrapped out the entire trilogy and tugged at the heartstrings a little.
So it ended it.
It was really the kind of thing where, this is a trilogy. Now we're done.
Mr. Potato Head jumps on a knife. You go! French fries. It's over.
It was pretty definitive. Yes, they were. All the toys went back to Taiwan and met the people who had made them.
Yes,
so
hilarious.
All of the 9-year-old slaves who met
who had grown up to become something funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. You finished the damn thing. It's a good setup. I gave you the alley oop.
That's what we want our audience to do. Finish the jokes. Yes. We're going to give you all setups.
Comedy volleyball.
Toy Story 3 is like if blank and blank
and then
did a good night.
And guess who shows up? Exactly.
Steve White, everybody. Going to be doing guest spots at Helium Comedy Club for free.
In Hawaii.
The next 100 years.
Yeah. Holy smokes.
So Toy Story 3. Big.
I can see it with the kids.
Yeah, you can see it with the
kids.
All kids.
Just whatever kids you find.
And the thing I love about it, too, they put like a cool short in before it, and there's always a kid behind you, generally a dumb one, that says, "Is this Toy Story?" And the mother always goes, "No," really annoyed. Or maybe it's just at the arc light. I don't know. That always happens.
You can't blame it on the kid being dumb for not knowing that it's Toy Story.
Well, he was 16.
Well, then he's a creep and so is his mom.
The mother was 21.
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Yeah,
they were holding hands. Maybe I misread the situation.
Numbers, everybody.
No, it was a great movie. See it with the kids. But the thing I love about Pixar movies is it goes back to the golden age of Disney where they make family movies, where family movies actually meant the entire family can watch this movie and not be bored. Not like, it's a kid's movie. Now I have to go see it and, try not to tear my hair out for an hour and a half while cartoon characters talk and make fart jokes. So the thing I love about Pixar is they make family movies that everyone can enjoy, and it was great. I recommend seeing it.
I like The Jumping Lamp.
That was their first animated movie. First one. It was the little short, and then that was still when they were hemorrhaging money, and Steve Jobs threw a bunch of money into Pixar, thinking no one else thought this company's not going to make any money. Steve Jobs did.
Attaboy, Steve-O.
Yeah, threw millions
What's
of his own money.
What's he doing now?
He retired and faded into obscurity somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think he's done anything relevant in our society lately.
Yeah, just a poor guy. He's really lost.
Yeah, he's a tough guy.
I'm on Pascal on my computer. Yeah. What do you guys use?
Fortran.
Pascal. I'm using a fill-in-the-blank old computer reference.
Yeah. C+. C+. Not plus plus? No, just C+.
Wow, that sucks.
He went way back.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into other family-friendly movies.
The Karate Kid?
Yes.
All right, you saw this one as well.
You want to see small Scientologists kick ass? You'll see. The Karate
Why are they so successful? Because they're Scientologists.
In a world where
in a
Scientologists
world.
Make movies.
Where Sweep the Christians.
What? I don't know. Something.
Where a cult overpowers everybody. You know, this film...
Oh, iTunes rating went down 50 points. That's weird.
Yes. Our iTunes rating just got eliminated.
Yeah.
Our RSS feed just got erased because Scientologists just went...
Yeah.
If there's any Scientologists listening, we don't mean to offend you. We just think that you're in a dumb religion.
Well, they don't have electricity anyway, right? The
no, that's Amish.
Oh, damn. Whoops. Yeah. Sorry.
To all the Amish folks listening...
all the Amish Scientologists.
We really appreciate
on your crank-driven ham radio.
Yeah, on your crank-driven ham radio, since you don't believe in electricity or technology, go to our website and buy some stuff through PayPal. Mm-hmm. Karate Kid.
We have signed buggies.
I was excited to see this movie. I liked the original. Now, one thing that bothers me on remakes and we talked about this with the A-Team, is when people are like, man, they didn't do it. Well, the original Karate Kid movie is not some masterpiece. Go back and watch it where it's like, sweep the leg, get him a body bag. You know, the Cobra Kai dojo is... Mm-hmm. Lunacy. My qualm going into this movie was immediately sort of addressed because I was like, they're calling it karate. I mean, I'm a martial art nerd to a certain extent. I'm like, karate's a Japanese art form. They're in China. Kung Fu is completely different. This guy's black. They don't know, you know.
This kid.
Why he should just have a gun and deal drugs? What is going on? I don't.
No basketball.
There's
really?
No basketball. I mean, if it was the track kid, I would get it. But I was like, you know, so that was – but they addressed that. They just started talking about
– Wait, now how did they address it?
Disclaimer.
Yeah.
Well, By the way, he's black now. Enjoy.
They just – well, I mean, they had him like studying – watching a karate DVD when he – after he got his ass kicked the first time, and then Jackie Chan – is like, oh, karate, huh? You really need – you should learn kung fu. It's better or whatever. You're in China. This is what we study here or something like that. So I was fine with that. The biggest problem with this movie was – and there were some good moments. Jackie Chan's great. This is the perfect part for him to play. And the training montage and all that stuff was great. The thing that they – I don't know why – how this just reeks of dumb Hollywood. They felt so compelled to – we got to stay true to the original Karate Kid script.
To please all the purists.
What? Yes. Guys my age who were like, yeah, that we make fun of that movie now, today. And that movie, what they were showing, the Cobra Kai Dojo was showing the bastardization that Americans do with stuff, which is, you know, that was the
Make it dumb and violent.
Make it dumb and violent, right. Exactly. Like, take out the honor and the respect and how it's a whole way of life. And here's this guy who's just an ex-soldier who's just like, fear does not exist in this dojo. And that's what Mr. Miyagi was like. Karate is, you know, he does that thing, karate no here with his fist or belt here. Karate here points to his head and here, soul. And oh, okay, that's what it's all about. So then they have this kung fu school in China that's just like the Cobra Kai school that's all like take them out and disrespectful. And I'm like, I've never been to China, but I know a little bit about Asian culture, and that I don't know that that exists. Maybe there's someone listening to this podcast in China right now that can send an email or put something on the message board to tell me
listening in China, they can't send an email.
They can't. I'm sure the Chinese government blocks this podcast because we're that controversial.
So, so that 1 year you spent as a school teacher in China.
Yes,
you know,
I definitely know, but I mean, I just like you know, these kids are bullying the young Scientologist, and Jackie Chan comes in, and then they're disrespectful. Like, I have never heard of anybody who's grown up in any Asian culture that is disrespectful to an elder. Like, I've never...
Well, maybe they saw The Spy Next Door.
Or Gran Torino.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly. But, I mean, like, grew up in China or Japan, that like, respect for elders thing is so ingrained that I just... Like, they were trying to shoehorn all these American things into this movie. Like, here's one place where they got it right. There's a love interest with this girl, which is... kind of okay because it shows.
Wait, isn't he only 8?
That's the thing. They're 12 years old. And in the other one, they're high school kids. They're like 16, 17 yeah. years old. So when Mr. Miyagi beats them up, it's like, okay, well, these are young punks that need to be slapped around. When he's fighting like 11-year-olds, they're like, come on. What are you going to get him in your van? And then you know, they need to have the love interest. So the kid, Jaden Smith is, you know, falls to this girl. And this girl's a really fine act.
Jaden Brolin.
James Pinkett Smith. James Earl Jones Smith. which I was a little old, I think, to play a part of a kid. There's a scene where they're in an arcade and she starts doing a sexy dance video game. And you're like, this is creepy. Yeah. Like, but there's one scene where they got the whole, like, Asian culture thing and the Chinese culture thing, right? He makes her late to a recital. It offends her parents. And he asks Jackie Chan, how do I get in good graces with the family again? And he goes, okay. And then they cut to him reading in Chinese, I'm sorry I've dishonored your family, and all of this stuff that you would need to say in that culture in China. And I was like, why didn't they do more of that? Why didn't they just
– why
did they,
just
feel so beholden to hold on to this old script from 25 years ago? You know,
why couldn't he just beat up some 11-year-olds? Wouldn't that have?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's like there's so many things like that that just they, and then they introduce characters and then they disappear. Like he meets this blonde kid who's like the only other American kid living in the apartment complex. Oh, they're gonna be buddies. Never see the kid again. He's never at the tournament.
Killed him.
No, he's gone. Yeah, sorry, Whitey. Done. And then even the relationship with the girl kind of disappears to a certain extent. And they just they. Why do you need to hold on to the original story points of the Karate Kid from 1985 where he moves from New York to the Valley?
Executive producer Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, yeah. It just, I mean, the kid, fish out of water, so fish out of water, an American kid in China. That's fine. That's it. He's getting bullied. He needs to learn. Fine. That's it. And he learns this art form from this guy who's gone through a lot of pain. Great. But all these other stuff, it's just... But there's some okay movies, and well, honestly, like if I had a 10-year-old kid, I would bring them to it, and they would probably love it.
Right.
You know?
Get one.
I'm gonna buy 3 of them online.
Yes. And then if they get out of line, you can beat them up.
So which of these, Toy Story 3 or Karate Kid, Steve, which one would you take your kids to?
Toy Story 3.
Why?
Tim Allen. I have no idea.
I love Galaxy.
Just the conviction, right?
By the way, I forgot. I wanted to mention this, too, because David Feldman had said is Jeff Garland in Toy Story 3. He is, actually. He plays a unicorn pony.
Oh, good.
So he does do a cameo.
Does he say potatoes?
No, he doesn't.
Jeff Garland, funny. Doing more stand-up now, Jeff Garland.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Toy Story 3. That's the one we're going to see maybe tonight. But I'm going to pull the old-fashioned sneak in the theater, hit the back door, get the wife and kids in. Who's paying that? Come on. Stop it. That's like $50.
Yeah, that's a lot of tickets.
Yeah. Slide them in.
Not popcorn. No popcorn.
No.
No.
No, you're bringing
Cheez-Its.
You're bringing an apple from home, yeah, and you're cutting it.
Pockets full of Cheez-Its.
You're cutting it up.
Yeah. Broke $100 million over the weekend.
109.
109.
Look at
million.
Me doing a little R&D.
Nice. All right. What's
but it's not 3D, is it?
Well, that's combined, 3D and regular.
What do you mean?
Well, it's all the ticket prices combined, $109,000.
Oh, no, I'm saying, million. Should I see it in 3D or should I see
I'm going to go with no. That's a gimmick that's just been overplayed.
Oh my God, go to a movie. Every movie coming out is in 3D. I'm not joking. I saw a poster the Step Up dance movie sequel in 3D. Does that need to be in 3D?
Finally.
Dance moves coming at you.
Oh,
hip hop
yeah.
dancing, and does that need to be in 3D?
You know,
backwards hats and throwback jerseys. Does that need to be in 3D?
How else are you going to see the shoes? The shoes. It's all about shoes.
It's about driving revenue, though, getting people to the theaters because they can't see 3D at home. So they got to get, because, you know, box office is dropping off. I read this somewhere. Box office is dropping off so much that it's like, okay.
Sure. It's a gimmick to get people in the theaters.
What do we got to do to get people? 3D everything.
Yeah. So. It's, I was done after, I think there was, I saw a couple and I was like, hey, I don't need to see any more of these in 3D. Alice in Wonderland, no.
Yeah.
How to Train Your Dragon and Coraline were the best 3Ds I'd seen.
There, I agree that box office is dropping off and they need to do something about it. But there's an article, and I'm amazed that something in Entertainment Weekly actually makes a good point, which is I believe it's in the June 18th issue of Entertainment Weekly. They talk about how bad movies are now.
Oh, summer movies. I read that article. It was great.
It's great. It's a great article.
And you know what's funny? That Mark Harris is the columnist. Mm-hmm. And Mark Harris is the opposite of what the Entertainment Weekly writers are. He's actually writing a column.
Yeah.
With an actual opinion. And that's why it caught me off guard. Oh, my God, he's right. And it's slamming the studios for letting marketing companies run everything. And trying to shoehorn 3D. I'm like, he's absolutely
right. So shoehorning 3D.
I got this on my BlackBerry. Mark Harris killed. Metro accident. I don't know what that means. go ahead.
Thanks,
Scientologist
Steve.
Running from
Scientologist. The Amish Scientologist took him out at the red line stop in Hollywood. But the thing the article talks about is how TV is better now.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like it was like when Edge of Darkness came out, that movie with Mel Gibson. I was like, there's episodes of The Shield that are 10 times better than this rogue cop thing. And I don't know why Hollywood continues to just make, and I hate to sound like the typical like film school guys who are like, studio pictures are dumb, only indie films are great. Like, I love a good studio picture, but they keep making these.
It's a very simple thing, and they make that point there. It's that let filmmakers make films, and they're not doing that.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I gotta pee. I bet you'd never had this happen on the podcast. I'll be right back.
We'll pause it. All right, so here's – you want to read this section from the
– I do, from Entertainment Weekly. And the Hollywood studios and those who run them are behaving like irresponsible custodians of the great tradition of mainstream movie making. Their choices are lazy and defensive. Their creative ambitions are hidden even from themselves. They look to marketers rather than filmmakers for inspiration, and their product just isn't very good.
It's like – yeah, they're making bad products, and they're again, clinging to like old business model of – we need a big star to open the movie. And it's like, no, you don't. You need a good movie. Like, I know we've talked about this before. I love citing this example of how The Hangover in its second weekend beat Taking a Pelham 1-2-3 in its opening weekend, mm-hmm. because it had a funny trailer and then word of mouth from the first weekend through social networking.
Right.
Everyone went to see it.
What about City Island? Same thing. The guy was like, he wanted to go to Tribeca or whatever. He took he's like, we're going to give you this much money. We want your film. And he's like, no, I'm going to roll it out slow. I got a good product. I got some good talent in there. I saw the movie, thought it was great.
Yeah, City Island's a great movie.
Yeah. Yep.
So and it's making more money now than it did when it first came out.
I'll tell you, if they did go a little bit old school business, like real old school, where movies actually got greenlit, there were movies. The problem is like the last decade is when they started letting marketing departments run the studios, and that's when things really started to go downhill.
I think it was when Otto Preminger died.
That too, sure.
Get an ice pack.
I forgot to put my chill pack under.
Yeah, this is a ridiculous.
Does that really work?
Oh yeah. This is a ridiculous example, but I want to say this because do you remember that horrible movie Big Mama's House?
Yes.
Okay. Now they could. The interesting thing is they couldn't sell that movie, mm-hmm. and rightfully so. You can't sell that script. Okay. Fox passed, studios passed, and then the marketing department saw it. And the marketing department went, well, Martin Lawrence in a fat suit, we can sell this movie, make it. And the marketing department essentially greenlit that movie. So they're like, oh, well, if they can market it, we'll make the movie. And that's
but at least they didn't make
reverse.
Two of those.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they learned their lesson. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God.
So, you know, have filmmakers make films. It sounds so difficult. Like Pixar. Pixar, the filmmakers make the movies.
I know.
And they make millions and millions of dollars.
And it's like they still cling to that thing of like, It focus grouped bad. Well, focus groups are like, you know, people in a methadone clinic.
Can't get out of jury.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so there's.
I have nothing better to do.
And then this like, you need a big, like one, when I went on that rant after seeing Robin Hood, because it just felt like, put a big guy, big name guy with a sword, get him out there, you know, no script, no cares, you know, and it's just like.
Give me an Errol Flynn type who, you know, throws phones.
And where's the movie start? Stop. Right where Robin Hood takes off.
Yeah.
Why don't we start it there? No. We can get him in twice. You know,
yes. Exactly.
I paid for that one. I was like, he becomes Robin Hood. Credits.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the most boring part of, you know, of like whatever.
Well, that's what they're doing now with Wizard of Oz. Disney's greenlighting a prequel to Wizard of Oz.
Oh, I hope it's in 3D.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it will be. Really? A prequel to Wizard of Oz? So where all the actual stuff happens, that's what we're going to watch a movie about before all that?
Oh, it's the Meteorology Center. It's like, there's a storm brewing.
Yeah,
a couple of gale winds shooting across the plains. Credits.
There's a storm brewing. Folks, get your raincoats. Kansas is going to be wet this time of year. All right. Thank you.
All right. 90 minutes. Maybe they'll do a Jonah Hex. Maybe only make it 81.
Oh, God. Like, why don't we do that instead of The Dark Knight? How about just Bruce Wayne in prep school? Let's just do that story. While his parents are alive, everything's going great.
Yeah,
let's just talk about that. How was prep school for Bruce Wayne?
Maybe there'll be a bully.
Yeah, maybe there'll be a bully.
But he's not angry, so
he just doesn't angry. Yeah.
And it ends when the teacher going, Bruce, you're acting batty.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Music stab.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about, yeah.
Well, you know what movie's still in theaters that I did see that's extremely creepy is Splice.
Really? Is that good?
It's a crazy, creepy movie.
It looks ridiculous.
It is. There's no question it's ridiculous. But it's creepy in such a way that you just, it makes you squirm in your seat. Not like a real scary, like, stuff jumps out at you hard. It's the kind of thing where you're watching it and you get that weird twisted knot in your stomach. Like, I can't believe I'm watching this. That kind of creepy.
Like it gave you a boner?
That's what I mean by twisted knot. Yeah.
You can twist your knot. Nice. Yeah. He's got some length.
That sounds like an old school, like, that broad really twisted my knot. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
now you're on the trolley. All right.
Just some nice gams.
Here you go.
Yeah. Now just give him the hi-hat. But it was the guy that did Cube. It was just as creepy as Cube, probably more, especially when they – you know, you can tell from the trailer, too. They start to treat this creation – this mm-hmm. weird thing as their child, and that's when it gets really uncomfortable. But it's a good creepy movie. It does go off the rails a little bit, like crazy horror movie, like towards the
end.
But
worth seeing.
But worth seeing. Definitely worth seeing, but not
And bring your kids.
And bring your kids. Without so they can relate.
Sneak
to
them into the theater with
Jesus.
Yeah. So, okay, let's I want to talk to Steve White now about his experience on Do the Right Thing. And also, Steve,
yeah.
From what I hear, you are a black man in Hollywood. And we want to hear about your take on the current state of black cinema in Hollywood.
We're moving.
Yeah.
All of us. We're out of here.
Well, you're the
representative.
You know, you're
all black. All things black.
Everything black. Tell me, what is the president doing right at this moment?
He's mad at that army guy for calling him punk, basically.
Yeah, slap that
brick, whatever thing.
I'm doing this magazine interview, and I didn't realize it was being recorded.
Yeah, sure. Okay, go watch Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're the first guest we've had on that's actually been in some big name movies, you know. Like,
sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
guys.
It's been a really tough season.
Paulie Shore, nothing.
No, we couldn't get Paulie Shore. Paul F. Tompkins has been in short films that Chris directed,
and There Will Be Blood.
And There Will Be Blood. Yeah. Okay, so I'm wrong.
And Jack Frost.
Okay, so he's been in a bunch of big movies. I'm an idiot.
What was he in There Will Be Blood?
He was one of the guys at the rally. He goes, no, there's no mistake trying to keep the guy from leaving and having them drill in his town.
Yeah, that's a good movie. I saw it again for the first time. Daniel Day-Lewis, just an acting lesson. I'm sorry to get off on that, but, you know, it was just a good damn movie. How come they're not doing that anymore? Let the pedophiles make movies. Ghost Rider was fantastic. It was fantastic. Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, it was a good movie. The only problem I had with it is like, this certainly doesn't look like New England because the director is banned from the country. this foggy English coastal town. I was like, oh, no, it's New England. No, it isn't.
Yeah. No, yeah. No, that's New England.
It's Ireland. Sorry. Anyway, I've been in a lot of big movies in the 1990s. So, whatever. Next.
So what do you think about, since you've worked with Spike Lee, I mean, like, what was the last movie that he did?
Inside Man. No, yeah. Miracle at St. Anna's.
Right, Miracle at St. Anna.
Right. Which was...
Were you in that?
No, I was not. I was...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Exactly, Spike. But I think the same thing is happening, you know, in the industry happens, trickles down to actors and stuff like that, where you're in acting class, you're busting your balls, you're trying to put on your Othellos and your skylight plays, and you're working on all this deep stuff, and the guys that are getting the jobs are, you know, the Megan Foxes and the equivalent, and it's like, you know, I worked hard, I'm an actor, I study, I can do my, you know, prep, and it's like, no. Candy gets the job.
Did you see Just Right?
I did not see Just Right. Did you?
No.
No. Seems like it was just wrong. You know, Latifah playing straight. Whoa, did I let that out? Sorry, Dana. You know I love you. I really do love her. So it's like, you know, you got to find the thing that's in you. It's like, I want to be an actor. I want to be good at what I do. And if I don't work in film and I miss a couple of things, fine. I was in class last night, you know, working on stuff. And then, you know, I'm older now. I'm in my 40s, so I'm 90 years old.
Right.
To Hollywood. So it's like, you know, get a bunch of people and do what you guys are doing. You know, my acting teacher says, actors act, waiters wait. Don't fucking wait. Get out there and do something. Put on a play. Shoot an independent film. Do a digital this. Do a road that. Just be creative and stay on it because work begets work. Good night.
Steve White, vote for him November 2nd.
For you, Meg Whitman. Dyke. I said it. Steve Poizner is a straight faggot. That's where it was going, right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, they're like, Steve Poizner cheated on his SATs.
Yeah. That's a whole other episode. I agree, and I think like that's the like we've talked about that a lot on this show is the frustration that a lot of us have is sort of being assuaged by the technology and that we can. Why Chris and I love doing this show so much is we didn't have to run this by a 24-year-old development executive. Yeah. We plugged a microphone into a laptop and
put an ice pack under that
put
laptop.
An ice pack under that laptop because my thing was overheating and the fan was going on. Buy a chill pack, folks. They're in the store.
They really work.
No,
I thought you made that shit up.
No, the fan.
No, Dean Haglund invented them.
I know we talk about this every episode and people are probably like, shut up with the chill pack.
It's just like water, right? Going to go in there and zip.
No, it's insulated.
It's insulated. It's a special material.
It's insulated. The biggest problem.
Ice age polymers.
Yeah.
Sybil chronic halitosis, a word advertisers make up.
But it's for computers.
Yes, it's for computers. The biggest problem with laptops is they overheat. No matter how fast they make them, they're going to slow down because they get too hot.
Even if they're solid state, the new ones?
Yes.
Even if they're solid state. Wow. Sure, solid state doesn't mean no heat.
What happens was I usually put it in before this episode so the fan doesn't go on. Right. But I heard the fan go on, and sometimes it'll bring a little hum into the recording.
Ah.
So that's when I turned my microphone off while you guys were yapping about something stupid. And I went to the fridge and pulled out the chill pack, and now the fan is gone.
It's a little no hum.
A little boom, boom.
Right. Nice. And we only have a few left. We got to get more from Dean again.
We're reordering from Dean Haglund.
You should sell them with the DVDs. Chill packs and DVDs. Signed.
Now we're going to get into shoes. We're going to get into everything.
Oh, yeah.
Bracelets. Now, if you had a newer laptop, you would need that, though. You have the
sure,
older.
Sure, of course you would.
Really? Yeah, you would.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest problem is because they're so small that they're making the process and everything so fast, but they use so much electricity that they get hot too quick.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So do the right thing. What was it like on that set?
9 weeks of hell. No, it was actually 9 weeks. Spike had us on the set. Every actor was on the set every day. And it was like one of my first movies. So I was like, okay, sounds good to me. And it was great because if he needed you, you were there. If not, you were chilling with Ossie Davis, Sam Jackson, or whoever, Martin Lawrence and all these other guys, Giancarlo Esposito, or yapping it up with Ernest Dickerson, who's the cinematographer and a great director now.
Yeah.
So it was really great. Danny Aiello, Richard Edson, John Turturro, All those. Rosie Perez, Easy on the Eyes, way back then. Yeah.
did a lot of dancing at the opening.
Chuck D and those guys would come by. Mike Tyson was kind of popping by the set, and Bobby Brown, and was just like, yay, you know. So it was really good. But I got to learn so much about film, and that's where I think I started to get my nose open about filmmaking, because I'd hang around artists and go, what's that? The 12K. What's K? It's Kelvin. That's how you read degrees. I was like a sponge for knowledge, you know, and that's a this, and that's a, you know, we're under cranking this scene. What does that do? Well, frames run at 24 frames a second. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. Since I got to be here, I might as well freaking learn.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing about learning about filmmaking than being on a set.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And then hanging out with the editor and what's a best boy and a grip and blah, 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 all that stuff.
Wow.
You know, and then subsequently went to NYU Film, which Spike got me into because Scorsese got him into NYU Film. So I just said, you do the same thing for me, man. Boom. Got me in the intensive. And I did a little filmmaking project and learn how to splice and tape and all that stuff and on the
reel-to-reel. I mean,
we
used to have like the razors. Then you would tape the film back together. Remember that?
Yeah. Shooting on 16 millimeter.
Yeah. Oh, 16. Yeah. Eight. Super 8.
Super 16.
Yeah. Super 16. Yep.
You know, and learning about, you know, the sound is on this part of the film. It's just it was very intriguing. 14 hours a day. And I was in class and I wish it was 16. It was great. So I learned a whole lot, and then they went to Avid, and all the stuff I learned was
thrown out the window. Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, they don't need these.
I know how to splice. We don't.
Because
do
you said now you were like a director's assistant or something like that on Malcolm X?
On Malcolm X, yeah. What another job that I got because I asked for it. People were jealous. Man, how did you get to work with Spike, man? No one, he's never had a director's trainee. He was like, well, I asked him. I was like, hey, Spike, can I do this, please? Sure. You got to get your butt over to South Africa. Okay. Paid for my ticket, went over with the crew, sat in Mandela's house.
No way.
That's pretty amazing.
Got a picture of me and Mandela. So, you know, it's about just being proactive and doing something that I was passionate about. As I was learning the passion for it, I was like, oh, I like this.
So at what point did your relationship with Spike Lee sour?
that happened. Can I use that razor blade? it never really soured. It's just that as he got more popular, he had more
drama.
Access to a bigger swath. Is that a word?
Yeah, that's
of,
correct.
Of Afro-Americans. so, damn you, Wesley Snipes! as his popularity rose, he's like, hey, I can use Denzel in this, and I can get you for that, and blah, blah. So the core group, I don't even know if I was in the core group, because he did She's Gotta Have It before me. Got used less. I mean, Martin Lawrence hasn't been in a film of Spike Lee's since, and he was in Big Mama's House and got $20 million for it. I was in Forfait Lane. I got
$20. $20. Two $10 bills.
With Andrew Dice Clay. Huh? So, I mean, I haven't worked with Spike since the late 90s, but he was actually going to direct me before this became popular. I had him on the phone with Carolyn Strauss at HBO.
Right.
He was going to direct a stand-up special for me.
Wow.
And shoot my teachers and shoot all the stuff in Long Island where I came from. The show kind of behind the story and how the jokes became the jokes.
That would have been great.
And it sounds great, but okay. Damon Wayans has a 1 hour. And it just didn't happen. I remember this was happening in the late 90s. I had it all on the phone. I was like, yes, it's happening now. And it just kind of fell apart. And then they started doing those type of themes with the what was that on Comedy Central or something?
Yeah.
They'd show the behind the joke type of thing. I was like, that was my idea, and I have it documented. And no cash for it. Not
they
bitter.
They said no to Spike Lee directing.
Yeah, the HBO said no to Spike Lee directing your stand-up special.
He was on the phone. He's like, yeah, I'd like to do this for Steve. We'll shoot it. We'll go to Roosevelt, Long Island, and maybe bring in the Eddie Murphy aspect because Eddie's from Roosevelt and show the Datsun, which I have outside. It used to be Eddie's, and then we'll get into jokes and interview teachers and, you know, all that stuff. Didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm so glad they didn't make that. That would have
been nobody would watch that. Yeah.
Like, oh man, I would have watched that.
A little smarter.
You know how you have like friends in the industry and you don't want to use the card until you like got it all lined up? It's like, okay, I'm calling Spike on this one. This is it.
Yeah.
Had everybody lined up. He called. Boom, boom. Teleconference call. Fell apart.
Steve, that was a good call. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can do about that.
Jesus.
So I'll do it again with Andrew Dice Clay.
Have him direct it.
Ed O'Neill will be there. He was in a movie too. And speaking about that, we were talking about the trickle down. You find yourself as an actor in rooms with in auditions for television shows because you're like the Shield is better than most of the stuff that's coming out in film.
You're getting bigger actors.
You're sitting across from you know Glenn Turman. And Lawrence Fishburne. You're like, why are you at a Old Spice commercial audition? You know these guys, Glenn Close.
Yeah.
TV, all these great actors are now in TV series, and it bumps the smaller guy out. You know,
The
things I'd be reading for.
Well, that's the thing. Like, reality TV.
Glenn Close's part.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, reality TV has taken out so many just positions. And then because then these big name actors are doing all these things, that's what you say. Like, all of the, like, bit parts and under fives and little five episode arc or whatever. They're not going to guys like us. They're going to huge name people, you know? And it's like, which is all the more reason why we need to just keep making our own shit, because it can pop in any number of ways now that didn't exist when we all first started doing stand-up.
Well, also with TV now, there's also the ancillary DVD and rental market that people are watching shows on now. So they're using the motto of, well, we still need a big star to sell the DVDs.
Well, that's
trickles down in the comedy clubs, too. Because then you want to work at the Tempe Improv. It's like, how many asses do you put in the seat, Steve White? I got Rich Lewis coming in and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, it's all exclusively about what you draw. That is it in the comedy clubs. Yeah. Because especially in this economy, people are not going to a club unless it's someone they know.
Yeah. It's everything, every medium, like even books. Well, how many books are you
going to
sell
publisher?
Yeah. But don't you have publicists? That doesn't matter. No. You have to sell
them. Whereas you have to bring your own audience.
Right, exactly.
And the upside to that, the good news in that, is that now you can literally acquire and keep track of your audience by, I have this many people following me on Twitter or Facebook or whatever.
And by the new Google Follow Me app, that you can actually implant your audience with little chips.
Nice.
I thought you were serious.
No,
I was like, wow, can we get this? How
in the earlobe, right?
Oh, I'm not serious? Okay.
And all of a sudden, it's like happening
Google
tomorrow.
Analytics, boom, oh, look, see, our biggest fan is at Ralph's right now.
Is it Ralph's right now? He's got a barcode that we put on his neck. We scan all of our fans.
So,
all right, we got to move along.
We're going to move on to DVDs. Now, not a great week for DVD releases. In fact, I haven't seen any of these
movies. I have.
All right, let's go through.
I saw two of them.
Green Zone.
That's Matt Damon, and I liked it. They called it anti-American. It was not anti-American. It was really American, if you could think about it in that type of way. I thought it was really good.
So if you have a brain and you can cognate.
Yeah.
It's
great. And that's what that's your demo, right? Cognitive.
Yes.
Brain.
Yeah, we have a very smart audience.
Yeah,
there's
then
no question.
Go see it. It was anti-American because it was anti-war. No. I thought it was really good.
Okay.
There's also a review of it.
Neil did a review.
Neil did a review.
He was just kind of passive about it. He thought it didn't went great.
I like Matt Damon.
Neil Diamond.
He writes. Yeah. He writes reviews for us.
Nice. September Moon. Yeah. Good movie.
Remember Me.
What was that?
I
forgot.
Come on.
Are we comedians?
Let's pull up Remember Me. I actually, I think
Remember
it was a rom-com.
I bet you it's dumb.
All right, let's move on, and we'll come back to it. Last Station.
Good movie.
Yes.
Tolstoy, right?
Yeah, Tolstoy.
Yes, and Helen Mirren.
I put a dick in her. I'm sorry. I would. I am sorry. I think she's hot. I really do. I do this in my act. I think she's great. I think she's hot. She's got a little flab. So what? Look out, Terry Hackford. I want you broad.
I want you.
Did you enjoy her all the way from The Cook, The Wife, His Thief, and Her Lover?
She's in that?
She was the lover.
I have it on Laserdisc. So I'm gonna fire that up tonight.
Wow!
But I didn't see her when she. I didn't see her when she screwed Cuba Gooding Jr. There was a lion something.
Oh, and no, it was on Jerry Maguire.
No.
Helen Mirren is great in Jerry Maguire.
Show me your taint.
Yeah.
What? I'm sorry, Helen. Call me.
Oh no! You just ruined it.
Shadowbox.
You had a chance.
Yeah. Now. Oh, you see the chain at the end. We know the last scene.
Who's in Remember Me?
The guy from Robert Pattinson from Twilight.
Oh,
never mind. Yeah, don't
but
see
that's
that.
That's weird that no one here has seen that movie.
Christopher Plummer. It was a good Last Station.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
I saw it in Malvern, Long Island. Just wanted to put that out.
Good.
Shout out to Malvern and everybody at the Art House there.
Next one. She's Out of My League.
I didn't see that. That's with the hot chick that shows up there at the pool and is like,
yeah, right? The hot chick with the goofy guy who actually threw 90 minutes.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Yeah, it was great.
Yep, she comes out of the pool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and he's
spank.
Yeah, and he doesn't know how to talk to girls because he's awkward.
Yeah, but he learns.
But he learns.
And she appreciates him for who he is.
Yeah.
Didn't see it.
So Green Zone, Last Station. Remember me, she's out of my league. Dump them.
Yeah. Now, opening this week, also not a great week for movies. Night and Day.
Isn't it?
Even Scientologists have to agree that Tom Cruise is kind of over.
I mean,
Of them going to be named Knight and one of them going to be named Day?
Yeah. I hope so. Steve Knight. I'm Sandy Day.
Get on the motorcycle.
That would be true. Steve, that would be too on the nose.
Yeah.
I'll see this movie. I'll be on the road in beautiful Lexington, Kentucky this weekend.
Or Hawaii or Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Brick.
And I'll do it. I'll go see this.
Well, he checks the roster. Does Steve White play here? No? Okay.
Yes. Book me.
Yeah.
Put me in there. I don't want Ben Vereen. That's from your act. That's from your act.
I'll see Night and Day, too, while I'm in Pacoima, wherever the hell I'm going.
I'll see Night and Day, and it's one of these movies I'm going to go into, like, I want this to be good. I want to have a fun time in this movie, but I just, like...
Good luck.
But I think I might walk out of it going, you know, we don't need big-name stars to open movies anymore, as we keep saying, so I don't know.
Well, here's five of them in the next one.
Yeah, gross. The horrible marketing campaign. Here's a bunch of comedians you liked or like still, and we're going to tell you nothing about the movie. We're just going to put them in a movie and hope you see it for 90 minutes.
And don't pee in the pool.
Don't pee in the pool. Because
turns blue.
Does that actually exist?
That's dysentery is what that is. That's...
I'm not sure what the marketing of this is. It's like, okay, here are some comedians who are having trouble with aging. Okay, but then what's the story? What's the plot? And why does
this movie
exist?
They get together. They used to be a basketball team.
Yeah. So we've seen this movie much better done when it was The Big Chill and other.
The Big Chill didn't have guys like bumping into things.
The Big Chill didn't have Rob Schneider, who always makes a movie better. Oh, by better, I mean...
Come on, Deuce Bigelow, one and two.
I don't know who we're going to get to see grown-ups. We're going to have to trick somebody.
One of our writers, we're going to have to trick him into seeing it. Go see it. It's great. It's with Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Steve, you'll review it.
I will. Helen's there. I will pound the queen. That's right. Put the currency in the joke. Thank you. Currency in the joke. That was a sterling joke. Sterling, look at him.
I will pound the queen.
I am punning in a different country.
That so many levels to that.
I would make it a double decker.
Oh, mind the gap.
Put my Big Ben in it. Anything else? Big Ben? What else?
Crown Jewels.
Nice.
Boom. Way to round it out.
Tower of London.
I was going to tea time, something.
Yeah.
You go.
Yeah. A little clotted cream. Yeah. Bam.
Wow. Nice
Coldplay.
One. Scone?
Coldplay.
Aren't they from England?
Bands.
White guys, aren't they from England?
Soccer?
Is that from
soccer?
No, just
Manchester United. Nice.
Oh, you know what? You're going to give her a little bit of your World Cup. Folks, as we wrap up the Film Nerd Podcast, that's our show.
Helen, shout me out.
Helen, Facebook me. I'm sure she's on Facebook. Helen Mirren's, what's her Twitter name?
I got some DVDs for you, too. Wanted to mention that.
No, we're going to go into our wrap-ups and plugs. First of all,
I'll sign them.
We will have signed copies of Steve White's, a new product in the store.
Not a CD.
His DVD, Steve White, Clever Negro.
What? Can you say that?
That's the title of
it. On the intranet?
Why can you? Don't be. That's the... where you have the dreadlocks.
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen in a while.
That's 3 months old.
So a lot of Watergate references in this.
It's an Oldsmobile driving by. Wait. It's not an Oldsmobile?
He's flying in Pan Am Airlines.
Braniff. Eastern.
So what do you got to plug, Steve? Where can people see you?
This was recorded in Branson, right?
Yeah, at Branson. They can't see me there. They can't see me in Hawaii or Philadelphia. But if you're in New York, I'll be at the Comic Strip or the Comedy Cellar downtown or Gotham Comedy Club because I get love in the city.
What dates?
Next month. Call it all of July. I'm in New York. Find me.
Boom.
Now, at the Borgata in September, Atlantic City.
Do you have a schedule on your website?
Yes, I do, which is down, which is coming up soon. It'll all be on the website, steveaintwhite.com.
Are you on any of the Facebooks or the
I do Facebook. Okay. Steve White, my name, black guy, pink shirt, nice smile. Because there's a lot of Steve Whites out there, so people don't, so that's me, babe. I'm going to go see Toy Story 3 tonight. Sneaking in Universal. Be ready for me. You know how I do it? This is so cool. When you go to Universal, especially if you go late, if you set your intention, it's an acting technique, set your intention, I'm getting in this movie for free. As you're walking past the ticket taker, be on the cell phone and just go, yeah, I'm in right now. And just walk right past.
Yeah.
It. Works every time.
That works anywhere. Yeah. Talking on the phone or like looking like you're supposed to be there.
That's what it's all confidence. No, I'm walking in. I'm getting, yeah, boom.
Yeah.
You're in.
You can do that, and you could probably fool the 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Mr. Unit. I guess he's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or walk in with a notepad or a clip thing and look at it and then point to something.
Or a mop.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. A mop.
What movie was that?
Yeah.
Richard Pryor had the mop.
Universal City Walk. Bring a mop.
Go mop down the City Walk, Steve. Get that Howl of Moon 2 piano.
But that was the movie. Is that a black guy with a mop can get in anywhere. Yeah. I think it was across 110th Street. No, it was the spook who sat by the door.
And,
yeah, watch that, pod nerd kid people. Spook who sat by the door. Great movie.
And then go to John Lovitz's Comedy Club.
Yes.
Clean up.
Great show. All right. So what do we got? What are we plugging? So obviously new CD, Steve White, Clever Negro, available.
DVDs.
Adam Stupid.
We just put up the Jackie Cation gift pack.
Oh, yeah.
And it comes with window clings, and that's where I keep my vagina T-shirt buttons.
And Circus People.
So the gift pack comes with her two CDs, Circus People, and It's Never Going to Be Bread.
It's Never
Going to
Be Bread. And some little free swaggy swag things.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
A little free swag.
How about you? What do you got?
I'm actually doing the King of TV's podcast, Paul Goebel podcast, this next week, and still have the book, Pacify Me, Handbook for the Freaked Out, New Dad. I know Father's Day is over, but if you're late,
yes,
still pick one up.
I'm a dad.
Yep. Yeah. You'll enjoy it.
Boom. Get yourself a Pacify Me. All right. Let's see. I will be in the Comedy on Broadway in Lexington, Kentucky this weekend, which is the 24th through the 26th, and then the Improv in Louisville on the 27th, and someplace in Oklahoma City on the 28th, all with Doug Benson. So come check that out. And then 4th of July weekend, I will be partying, bitches. and Zany's in Nashville July 9, 10, and 11. And thank you, everyone who's been coming out to the shows. We appreciate it. And, message board us. Write us favorable reviews on iTunes if you feel so inclined. Spread the word. And I think that's it. Thank our guest, Steve White.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, guys. Mm-hmm. Keep doing. Stay creative.
Yes. I'm Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. Thanks for listening.
Thanks to our intern.
Dan Katz.
That guy.
Danny. And our other intern, Ben.
Yeah, Ben's doing a great job.
Ben's doing a great job. That's, and everyone I was
that whole side of the office is because of Ben.
Right on,
Ben. Way to keep it organized, fella. Fella. What am I? 23 Skidoo, Ben. anyway, I'm Graham Elwood. Thanks for listening. ComedyFilmNerds.com. Remember, Han shot first.